About 2 p.m. Beijing time, 36 Western Falun Gong practitioners displayed a banner stating Truthfulness, Compassion, Forbearance, and staged a peaceful appeal for Falun Gong on Tiananmen Square.
Before I practiced Falun Gong, because I couldn't get over drugs and or my selfish nature, which basically hurt other people a lot, and smoking, various problems I gathered in my youth, I couldn't get over, and I felt that society had failed me. So I was going to leave and, you know, get rid of my ID, never see my family, my friends again before I just vanish. And that's when I found Falun Gong. I practiced Falun Gong for over 3 years, and I know and have felt and experienced that it's something truly beautiful. And as we all know right now in China, they're doing everything in their power to try and destroy it. For the past 2 years of the persecution, I've traveled all over the world. And I've talked to media, citizens, government officials, and I've done everything in my power to help stop this, except going to China.
I think what we want to portray to the Chinese people is that Falun Dafa is respected and loved around the world, and that the principles of truthfulness, compassion, and tolerance, the principle of virtue and goodness is so important to hold, you know, so important to protect.
That I feel I have to do this. And if I wasn't doing this, I feel that I wouldn't be a good brother, I wouldn't be a good friend, and I wouldn't be a good cousin or son. I wouldn't be a good person if I wasn't doing, I wasn't taking responsibility for what I feel in my heart.
I had a friend of mine who really didn't understand why I spend so much time, why I'm so devoted in helping to spread the truth about Falun Dafa. And he's Jewish. And I said to him, if you were back in 1936 and 1937 and you knew Hitler was murdering your people, would you not want to do something to help? Would you just turn away and run for your own safety, or would you want to try to help? Would you want to try all you could to help those people? I said, the same thing is happening today.
Everything I'm doing is within international law. It's even under Chinese law, it is okay. People say that it's risky because I'm going to support Falun Gong and the Chinese government is persecuting Falun Gong. Well, unfortunately, it's taken me a very long time to make this decision to go, but fortunately, the practitioners in China have done a great deal of truth clarification, and many people know Falun Gong is good. It is not against the government, it is not against any law, and I will not be breaking any laws when I go there. So I should have nothing to fear, and I don't have anything to fear.
I have to do this. It's in my heart that I have to go and I have to help spread the truth as much as I can. And if the consequences are imprisonment or torture, then, you know, so be it. But I can't turn away. You know, how can I turn away when I know that innocent children and women and men are being murdered for the same thing that I practice here, for the same thing that my mom practices here? I can't turn my back.
One after another, practitioners from Australia, Sweden, the United Kingdom, Canada, France, Germany, the United States, Ireland, Israel, and Switzerland decided to meet at Tiananmen Square at noon, motivated by their compassion to tell the truth about Falun Gong.
We've come here to the Great Wall to hang our banners. In my heart, I kind of think of the Great Wall as a nice place to do it because a lot of people from around China come to the Great Wall and they'll be able to see the banner. Also symbolically, this wall was used to fend off evil invaders who wanted to invade China. And right now, the Falun Gong practitioners inside China are using their lives to fend off the evil that is that is attacking China right now. So I can't think of a better place where I can go put this right now so that people from around China can come see that Falun Dafa is good. The more I'm here, the more I see how important it is we clarify the truth to people in China. So many people here. And so many people who don't know. I made this banner in my hotel room last night. It was very tedious, and I did my best. So when Chinese people see it, if they're touched by it, it doesn't look just like a makeshift banner, although it is. This is my banner.
Before they gathered in Tiananmen Square, they released a press statement. We have traveled to Beijing from Australia, Canada, France, Germany, Ireland, Israel, Sweden, Switzerland, the United Kingdom, and the United States. We appeal today for the benefit of all Chinese citizens to let them know that Falun Gong is good and that its practitioners are good people from all over the world. We also appeal to members of China's government and police who have been misled or coerced by higher authorities into committing crimes against innocent people. We hope that they too can recognize the peacefulness of Falun Gong, change their hearts, and no longer contribute to atrocities.
Oh, yeah.
Where can you find noble people in today's China worthy of your past hero's reputation, like Yue Fei, a Chinese national hero and a great general in the Song Dynasty? Where can you find people today who will be looked at in the future as part of the dignity of Chinese culture, the oldest and most beautiful culture, the father of all cultures? These people are the practitioners of Falun Gong.
Zhang Nanye is a 42-year-old computer consultant from Minneapolis, Minnesota. At the same time, he's also a Falun Gong practitioner. In November 2001, he was arrested along with 35 Western Falun Gong practitioners in Tiananmen Square for peacefully appealing for Falun Gong. He was also told he could not return to China in 5 years. Today, we've invited him to our studio to tell us his experience in China and how he felt after coming back to the U.S. Hi, John.
Hi.
Welcome to our studio.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Could you tell us a bit about yourself and your hobbies?
Sure. Well, I do computer consulting for a living. I have a small consulting business, and I set up computer networks for small businesses and nonprofit organizations. And I like to do things like riding my bicycle, and traveling, learning languages, photography. And I own a small house in South Minneapolis, so I have to take care of the garden and the yard and shovel snow and things like that.
And how did you find out about Falun Gong?
Well, about 2 years ago, in March 1999, I was getting acupuncture treatment from a medical doctor who was from China. He's also an acupuncturist. And he gave me some advice when he was giving me treatment for some car accidents I had been in. He suggested that I look into Falun Gong because of the injuries I had and the questions I had about the accidents I'd been in. And he recommended that I read this book, Duan Falun. This is my first exposure to Falun Gong. I read this book and found it to have a lot of really profound truths in it that I couldn't learn anywhere else. And I started to learn the exercises and learn the exercises from some of the local practitioners here in the Twin Cities in Minnesota. And, you know, the three principles that we have here on this Breton and elsewhere, three, I don't speak very much Chinese, but I know these three words in Chinese because they're the main principles of Falun Gong. Jin, Shan, Wen, English, their truthfulness, benevolence, and forbearance. And I think... you know, these principles are what are in this book, Duan Falun, and what forms the core of Falun Gong. And you know, that's really why, in addition to the health benefits that it brought to me, is these profound moral principles.
Wow, sounds really good. Could you tell us a little bit more about it? Is it an exercise, a philosophy? It sounds like both.
I think it's in a category by itself, really. It's an integrated cultivation practice. It's a practice of both mind and body. We learn to conform to these principles of truthfulness, benevolence, and forbearance in all our behavior, and the principles are expounded upon in the book. There are exercises also. There are 5 exercises that we do, 4 standing exercises and 1 sitting exercise, which is a form of meditation. They're very easy to do. There are practitioners from all ages, from small children up to people in their 80s and 90s, I think. And yet they're very powerful exercises, and they increase the energy in our body and make everybody who does it feels much healthier and more energetic.
Is it originally from China?
Yes, it is. As I understand it, it really goes back thousands of years, although it was only starting to be taught in 1992 by the teacher, Li Hongzhi. He had inherited this practice from the teachers before him, mm-hmm. and as I understand it, it's really an ancient Chinese traditional practice that just came out into the public about 10 years ago. And of course, it grew in popularity very quickly in China to maybe as many as 100 million people. And now there are practitioners in more than 50 countries in North America, Europe, Asia, Australia, all over the world.
From your personal experience, have you been to Asia or China before?
Yes, I had been to China before, and I actually lived in Southeast Asia in Thailand. I lived in Thailand for 2 years in the early 80s. And I taught English there. And while I was living in Thailand, I was able to travel to different parts of Asia, a lot of the countries nearby, including China. I flew to Hong Kong and spent about 2 weeks inside China in Guangzhou, Hangzhou, and Shanghai. It was very interesting. I was very interested to learn about China at that time. It was a very good experience.
And this time you went back to China, was it quite different? Did you spend a lot of time in China?
Well, I'd say it's really different because 20 years ago, China was a very economically developing country, a poor country really at the time, even poor in relation to Thailand. Mm. Now it's changed a lot. I think everybody knows that the economic development in China has really raised the standard of living. When I was in Beijing for a total of not quite 5 days while I was there, it was very obvious with all the advancements in transportation and the stores there and the advertising, the things that are available to people there. China has prospered a lot economically and developed. Yeah.
And about your peaceful appeal, how were you treated and what happened there?
Well, there were 36 of us from a total of 15 different countries who decided to go to China, to Tiananmen Square, because that's kind of the heart of everything in China is Tiananmen Square. Mm-hmm. And we know that Chinese Falun Gong practitioners have gone there to, as you call it, it's a peaceful appeal. We're appealing to, in our case, not only the government of China, but really to the people of China. Our reason for going was to try and help Chinese people understand that Falun Gong is something very good and that people all over the world practice it, people of all different races and all different ages, and that we want the Chinese people to know this, to understand really what Falun Gong is about. It's something so great that's come from China. Everyone who practices Falun Gong deeply respects Chinese culture. Because this is what has brought so many great benefits to the world. And of course, Falun Gong, we feel, is representing the best values of traditional Chinese culture. Truthfulness, benevolence, and forbearance are the principles of the universe as we understand it, but also something great that has come from Chinese culture. So we went to Tiananmen Square to sit peacefully, the 36 of us, and hold up a banner, and I have a photo of what we did. This is most of us here in one place. You can see that what we did was to take a position of compassion. Really, we're being compassionate in this position, and the banner that we hold up just has these three words that I've talked about here, Jin Shan Men, in English and Chinese both. And this is all we went there to do. We intended just to sit there very peacefully like this for about 10 or 15 minutes and then get up and walk away. We didn't plan to do anything more.
That's been a very powerful moment.
It was a very powerful moment. It was very peaceful for, less than the minute really, but while we were there, we closed our eyes and focused our thoughts on compassion. And, not too long after this photo was taken, probably less than 30 seconds after this photo was taken, we heard horns and tires screeching and people running. The police came with vans and cars and surrounded us.
Were you nervous?
I would say that I guess I felt a little disappointed that we weren't going to be able to do exactly what we had hoped to do there, which was just to make a peaceful appeal and then go home. As I sat there, I continued to do what we were doing with my eyes closed and just within this gesture of compassion. And I was taken into a police van. They carried me away. Some of the other people there were not treated quite as well. There was one guy from Canada who was punched in the nose and had his nose broken. Another guy from Australia who wasn't allowing himself to be pushed into the van had his hands on the door of the van like this so that he wouldn't be pushed in. Apparently they pried back his hand like this and broke a bone in his finger too.
So they did that right in front of all the people in Canada?
Yes, that's right. There were probably, we don't know how many, probably a few hundred people there. But some of the people who were looking were very surprised to see that Westerners practice Falun Gong. So we did accomplish that much at least, that some people understand a little bit more about Falun Gong. But we were, all of us were eventually put into the police vans and taken to a police station. And we were held in the police station for about 4 or 5 hours. Part of the time that we were there, we were interrogated one by one. And I know that one of the other Americans, for example, got slapped and beaten a little bit. And they also put us in a cell in the basement of the police station for maybe an hour or so. So we were in a cement cell behind bars for a while. And we didn't know really what they were going to do with us. We heard one of the women who was with us was screaming at one point, a couple of women actually, and we found out later that they were pushed down the stairs as down into the basement in the police station. So we were held in the police station for about 4 or 5 hours, and we were then moved to rooms, a big room in a hotel out near the Beijing airport. They actually separated us into two different groups. 20 of us were in one room, and I think 15 in the other room, and we weren't given any privacy during the whole time. We were kept in this large room, and we were interrogated again. I was interrogated by a policeman and policewoman for about an hour, we were kept in this room, all night.
What type of questions did they ask you? Were their attitude pretty strict, or were they more kind?
Well, they were very firm with me. I know with some of the other people that they actually raised their voices quite a bit and were kind of disrespectful. With me, they were interested in asking a lot of questions about what I had done while I was in Beijing and how we planned this event, which surprised the police. And I think they were also very curious, too. They were curious to find out a little bit more about me and my background and how long I had practiced Falun Gong and what I thought about it, because we could tell that the police were actually kind of confused or perplexed by this, the fact that, what their government has told them about Falun Gong didn't really seem to be true based on what they were seeing from all these foreigners, all these Westerners from different countries who came in telling them it's legal in all of our countries, We all behaved ourselves pretty well. You know, none of us fought back with the police at all. Even the people who were beaten or slapped or abused in any way did not fight back or curse back at the police at all. So I think the police got to find out firsthand, although this wasn't the intention, probably, of the government, a lot of the police people there got a good education in what Falun Gong is all about. And they, you know, they could see that we were good people and that we didn't have any bad intentions towards China or Chinese people at all.
And you said before that the goal of your trip is to appeal to the Chinese people. Did you feel like you achieved that goal?
I think so. I think that particularly with the photo I showed you earlier, that's been posted on the internet and from the people who were there at Tiananmen Square who saw it, from also one of the 36 of us who didn't get detained, actually had a camera and was able to take a video of the event. Because these things are out there now in the public where people can see them, and because of the people who saw us there in Tiananmen Square, they know, they understand a little bit more. I think it was kind of shocking, but in a good way. So I hope we accomplished that. Yeah. We would like Chinese people all over the world really to know more about Falun Gong, about this. It's a wonderful practice that's come from China.
As you know, this is a pretty big event. And before that, have you taken any other efforts to try to express your concern about the persecution of Falun Gong in China?
Sure. Like a lot of Falun Gong practitioners, I've been in touch with my elected officials, my congressman and senator, having written them letters and visited them, and not asking for any particular action in any way except to raise the issue, to raise it as a moral issue in their discussions with the U.S. State Department and with the Chinese government, to let people know that Falun Gong is a good practice, and that the Chinese government shouldn't persecute people who practice it, people who are very good, courageous people. I participated in press conferences, too, and parades. For example, there was a parade in Washington, D.C. last July, a big march from the Washington Monument to the Capitol building in Washington. I was in the parade and part of the press conference there. And at other times I've kind of stood up in public and held signs or peacefully told people about what Falun Gong is. I try to tell people one by one, you know, try to reach their hearts and have them to understand what it is.
And if there's one thing from your trip that you would like to tell our audience, what would it be? I know it's a very complicated question, but if you could just sum it up to one thing.
Falun Gong represents the best of Chinese culture, and I'd like all Chinese people to see that there are people all over the world who respect China, and a lot of these people are practitioners of Falun Gong, and they really respect Chinese culture. And I guess that would be the thing I would like all the audience to know.
Well, thank you very much for coming to our studio.
Thanks for watching our program.